Sure.
What that looks like. But. All right. So that'd be, I think that'd be cool to talk about too.
Let's do it.
Is that one on?
That one's on. We're recording.
Okay.
We're live. Hello, everybody. Welcome.
Not live, live.
Oh, yeah, not live, live. But welcome back to another pod. We are joined today with Jason Ansley, the owner of Monster Games.
Hey, guys. How are
What's
you?
What's up, dude? How are you?
Good. We are. It's hot.
It's hot.
Yeah. But we're good. Yeah. We're doing really good.
It's close to Missouri temperature.
It is, but this, I just talked to my wife and it's like 80 degrees and not humid in Joplin. So
I'm
very sad about that, but it's hot here.
Dude, it was better temperature this year in Joplin than it was the previous two years.
Way better.
Yeah.
Last year was really hot.
Yeah.
This year was fine. It was good. So
yeah.
Yeah, we were lucky.
Cool. Do you mind just holding that just a little bit higher? Yeah. Cool. All right. So I think today we want to talk about kind of, maybe we don't get into specifics of what happened
right
at the event, but obviously a tragedy happened. Somebody passed away. We're not going to speculate on why or anything like sure that, but it's like you were saying before we got on here, it's an important conversation to have. I guess let's address your concerns first. What does this mean for you as a event hoster that's trying to grow the event and trying to implement new things? What does this mean for you guys?
Yeah, man, that is a great question. And it's one that we've been able to bounce around the last 3 or 4 days. I have, you know, one of my co-event directors here with me, Stephen Tackett's here. My wife is not here, who she does just as much as we do. And it's what we've been asking, like, you know, what are we doing to prevent things? What would we do? That's the number one question, right? Is like, we look at each other like, all right, now we don't have all the information, but what would we do? And it spurred some really good high-level conversations where we had to look ourselves in the mirror and just say, are we prepared for something like this to happen? Because it can.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not this particular thing, but an accident can happen. We do multiple things that are dangerous. I mean, somebody could literally fall off of a rope and break their neck, right? It could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that we've talked about, but this raises the level of, are we doing enough to protect our athletes and to honestly put them first? And that was one of the first things my wife texted me, was she's just like, you know, what does this look like for us moving forward? And I've had so many people stop me in Vendor Village and ask me if I'm okay. And which I found very interesting. And I'm just like, yeah, I was like, you know, we're okay. And they're just like, you know, what would you guys do? And I don't really want to answer that with them in that setting, because a lot of them are athletes, and honestly, we're still processing it on what we do. And every situation is different. Monster Games is a large competition, but it's not as large from a spectator standpoint as the CrossFit game. So I think we have to look at it different. You know, my wife and I, we make our living doing this. We talked last year at Legends where we walked away from our gyms because we were passionate about taking care of the athletes. And so, man, it hits home because it's how we eat. It's how we feed our family. And it for sure, I don't know that I have the right answer for what we would do if this happened, because I don't know if you can answer that until it happens. Hopefully it never does. But I know that we would circle people up with us in a room that we trust.
Mm-hmm.
And we would say, you know, we need to walk through scenarios, and it can't just be Jason making a decision because this is my gut, because my gut is wrong a lot of times. So, you know, we have an executive team that we trust, that we just this year formed, funny enough. We asked to come to our house, sit down around a table, and we said, you guys are people that we trust, and we want to compensate you for your time. And here's what it looks like behind the scenes. Like, are you guys willing to walk through the Monster Game season with us? And they agreed to do that. And so, you know, we were able to meet and they got to see things. And so that way, when the weekend comes and things happen, you have people that you can grab that are in your camp. They don't have ulterior motives and they want to protect you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those are things that we're putting under a magnifying glass right now.
So there's like so many questions that I have and so many opinions of over the weekend as somebody who still like considers myself an outsider to CrossFit. I've even had people text me like, what do you think about what happened? And I say, to be honest, I think it's negligence at the highest level. This is my opinion. I'm not speaking for anybody. Right. And by the way, my condolences to the family and everything like that. And I hope that as well as you can be, that you are well.
Right.
It's a hard time. But I think personally, it's like negligence on CrossFit's part, because it just seems like there's so many pieces that could have been easily thought about. And I think with all the moving pieces that they have, little things like this can get overlooked. However, these are like anytime you're working out in a high intensity capacity or you're multiple points, like the heat, open water, running, you're doing a whole bunch of stuff, you're dealing with fatigue and all this, like all the little things should be looked at. And so somebody that texted me that's out of the CrossFit world, they're like, this is just bullshit. It's like, how does CrossFit ever expect to be considered a professional sport or anything when things like this are happening?
Yeah.
And this isn't like a regular occurrence at all, but it kind of adds to, I've said this a few times to a few people. This is exactly the shit that people look at CrossFit and think it's just a circus act.
Right.
You know, because there's just always something. There's always something going on.
Right. I think it becomes about trust. I think I can't speak to a lot of things behind the scenes at CrossFit, nor do I want to, but I will speak to what I think is important to build up, and it's trust with the community. And if that trust has been lost, the first reaction is going to feel gross negligence, whether it is or isn't. It's going to feel gross negligence. It's going to feel like it's all about the money, all of the things that you read on social media.
Yeah.
And that's because there hasn't been a trust built up with the community and with the, over the years, it being consistent, right? Mm-hmm. So how often has it changed over the years? The schedule changes, the season changes, the process to get there changes. Regionals turns to sanctionals, sanctionals turns to semifinals. So you start to lose trust when there's no direction, there's no vision, and there's no focus.
Yeah.
And so the one thing I can say about, again, I want to make sure where I'm speaking through the lens of Monster Games. I don't want to speak through the lens of CrossFit because I'm not behind the scenes. I can speak to what we try to do. And that's what I want to say is we try to build trust, and we build trust through consistency of schedule. We're always roughly the same time of the year. Everybody knows that we're a July competition, right? Monster Games in the summer. We're always in the summer. We market ourselves as the end of season competition for athletes that don't make it to the games, right? That's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
If I was to come out in November and say we're now going to be in October, although there may be a reason for it, the people that follow us and put us on their schedule and do it, there's something that you lose there. There's a piece of trust that goes away because they'll never understand behind the curtain of what's going on. They just know that we're just all of a sudden changing what we're doing.
Right.
And trust is lost. And consistency, we have a swim event. So we can't sit here and talk about it without addressing the fact that we swim. And what do we do for it? Because that's what everybody wants to know. Nobody pays attention to it until it happens. But the number one question I've gotten this weekend is, how many lifeguards do you have? And so
it was packed with lifeguards.
It's packed with lifeguards. So yeah. We adhere to the city. We use the city pool, and we hire their entire staff. So we rent out the entire park. So all managers and staff we pay for. We pay for they come in early. The swimming pool that we use doesn't open until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So when we start at 6:30 in the morning, lifeguards are required to be there at 5:30. So our athletes are allowed to get in the water at 6. They can't get in the water at 6 until all athletes are on stand. So those are things that we do behind the scenes, and we work directly with the city on that. So again, not saying that did not happen. I don't have any idea. I'm saying this is what we do. So we work with the city directly. We have multiple meetings about what that looks like. My daughter is actually a lifeguard. She's a manager at the pool. And so I speak directly to her and just say, what are we doing? What do I need to know? What's in place? Our I's dotted and T's crossed. So we have that unique relationship there. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We have 8 lifeguards on stand for 14 lanes of athletes in a controlled pool environment. Mm-hmm. So that's what we do. And it doesn't mean that we're perfect. And man, I just nailed it on the head. That's just a process that we work with the city to figure out how to make sure we're protected. And so I think when athletes show up, I think there's a level of comfort that they feel. They don't feel like they're not being watched. And that's our job. That's what you can do.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have opinions online, right? They're talking about run before swim was stupid. Swim before run is better. I think that in terms of the order of events, I don't really think it matters that much so long as things are controlled and that there's safety in place for it, because the test of fitness is the test of fitness. Right. So you're trying to look for a certain stimulus. So I don't really think that that's the thing that they should focus on. And on the other hand, too, I think that people are talking about open water versus pool. Like, what should they have done? I think that pool would be a good idea, but at the same time, I get the open water thing.
Right.
What do you think? Like, where is your head at with that?
Well, I mean, I can tell you, I guess I'm releasing breaking news, but we were looking at doing open water in 2025.
Yeah.
So, and why we're looking at doing open water is different than why CrossFit did open water. We're looking at doing open water because we're looking to have 1,000 athletes, and it's hard to get through 1,000 athletes in 14 lanes at a time.
Yeah.
So has that made us reevaluate it? I would say yes, because I do think it's important to sit and realize the difference between the level of swimmer that you have to be to swim open water versus a pool. And so that is a conversation that my wife and I have had, Stephen Tackett and I have had about what that looks like. And so that's, again, like, I believe that things happen and you can grow from them. And, you know, there will be trickle down effect that affects our competition in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this is one of those things that trickles down and affects us in a positive way where we get better and maybe we make wiser decisions. Although I don't think there's anything wrong with people that swim in open water. I don't. I've competed at Granite Games when they had open water swim. I never felt unsafe, and I'm not a great swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
I competed there as a master's athlete in 2018, and we had an open water swim at the lake, and there was lifeguards on paddle boards with noodles everywhere to give you a noodle and to make sure that you were safe. And so I never felt unsafe in that environment. So do I think as Monster Games, we can produce an open water swim safely? I do. Does it mean that we're going to pull back and wait? Maybe. It's possible. You know, we have to look at that. I don't want to create a barrier of entry to an athlete coming and experience in Monster Games. And if that means we have to wait a year or two to make sure we're dialed in because we are moving to a new city, then that's what we'll do.
What comes to mind in terms of like safety protocols though, for an open water swim for you guys, especially with the volume of athletes that you'll have?
I mean, it's, you have to rely on people that have done this before. Right. And that means when you're working with a city, I can tell you in particular, one city we're working with, they won't even allow us to provide staff for the open water. They take care of it. You pay a fee. They're used to having triathlons run at this lake. They do run swims there, bikes there all the time. And they're like, for X number of dollars, our staff handles it. We used to do it. We do it all the time. We take care of the buoy markers. We take care of the paddle boards. We take care of the jet skis. We take care of the kayaks, and we hand it. And so you sign a contract where they are managing, there's an actual management company that actually manages the event for you. And that gives me great peace of mind because I'm not a triathlon manager. I know that I love to test that stuff. It's part of what makes Monster Games unique. It's part of why I want to go into open water. And so again, I rely on people that have done it before, and they know. They can say, Jason, this is what you need to have. You have X number of athletes, you're running 40 people every 6 minutes into the water. Like, this is what we have to have, and this is what it costs. And you either agree or disagree. And so you're like, okay, well, I can't do that. So you pull back how many until, you know, it's a negotiation based upon what you're comfortable running into the water and what they're comfortable managing. And if they say we can only manage, you know, 30 athletes at a time in water, then that's how you do it, because you're handing that off.
What's interesting to me though, is that they've done this like a number of times, right? So I don't, albeit that it could have been a freak accident, what happened, right? Like, you could have had a health condition or something like that. My immediate thought is, you know, there's that story of that the lifeguard who like turned the guy away or something.
Right.
That jumped in.
Yeah, we've all heard that story.
Yeah, is it? I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for sure not commenting on that. But yeah. I have no way to know. But yeah. You know, the stories are out there on social media from firsthand eyewitness accounts, so they are what they are.
My question is just like that, if they've done it this many times before, right. what do you think may have changed or may not have changed?
You know, again, that becomes speculation on the back end with you're in a new city.
Yeah.
I don't know what those protocols were with Fort Worth, right?
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have a way to know. And I can say from, again, very, very interesting that we're going to a new city as well. And, you know, we're a year out from Monster Games, and I've already had more than 5 conversations with the new city, particularly about the swim.
Yeah.
And I know it's a concern for the cities. I know they want it to go well. And I know, and again, I can't speak for Fort Worth because that's not one of the cities we're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at large cities, Kansas City, Oklahoma City. And so these cities are asking lots of questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been very pleased. And this is prior to this happening. And so now hindsight, looking back on that, I'm like, man, they're being very proactive about that. I would have to assume the city was very proactive.
Yeah.
And then I don't know after that where that would go, because I don't know at what level I have an authority to override anything. I don't know that.
Right.
I know that I would choose not to because I've not done open water swim before. I think pools are pretty cut and dry, right? You're only allowed one athlete in the lane at a time. So it's pretty easy to control. That's why we've done it. We did our first swim in 2019. Mm-hmm. We had our first swim. And so we're 6 years into swimming. This year is going to be year 8 for Monster Games. So we've never had any issues. Now, that doesn't mean we couldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that if we would have, like, there's people on scene prepared to do it. We've had more issues with running than we had swimming.
Yeah.
Because oddly enough, we run after the swim.
Yeah.
Right. So I think just as many things can happen when you're running hot, tired, fatigued, all of those things
too. Yeah.
You can have a cardiac event just as easy there. You're not in water. So
you can have a cardiac during any of these events.
Right.
You could have a cardiac event, and people are just like, so like one person said the swim run thing, and now everybody's latched on to this idea. It literally makes no difference. It's just the level of fatigue that happens that kind of makes the difference there.
I think we're dealing with elite athletes, and I would take a probably not a very large leap to assume there was some sort of cardiac event that caused it.
Yeah. How do you think that this, you had mentioned that you think it may affect you in a negative way.
Yeah.
Trickle down. What do you think could happen from this?
You know, maybe I read too much on Twitter and Instagram, but I think people are angry, and I think people look to us as leaders to protect them. And I don't think they feel protected. And that's scary for me because, you know, we had nothing to do with this, but we're going to be lumped in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's the trickle down that I think we're talking about. I think we're talking about, you know, any event that advertises swim, are you instantly going to be put on a radar, and everybody and their brother is going to be ready to jump down your throat if you're not do it. And maybe that's what keeps us all safe.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe that. So, but there's two ways to look at it. And I'm a very aggressive event director as far as that goes, as I like to push the boundaries on things. And then I have my wife, who's like, oh, we can't do that.
You know,
and here's why. And that's, you know, why we've been married for 25 years. So, those are just things that we have to look at, but it can also trickle down in a positive way where maybe we start to be looked at as people who can be trusted, and we become more than just an alternative. And I'm not trying to be anything more than what we are, but if we are trusted and people have had good experiences and people do know that we're going to protect them, you know, maybe that bolsters us up a little bit, and maybe it actually, we tighten our ship. We keep our executive team in the loop of what's going on. I'm probably more transparent than I probably should be with our athletes. I try to tell them everything.
I think that's a really positive thing.
Okay.
For sure. So something I still, like, I think I mentioned this already. I still consider myself an outsider from CrossFit. So one thing though, we had a discussion a couple nights ago when everything transpired that I have a really hard time with is people do not seem to separate CrossFit from CrossFit. And what I mean by that is they don't know how to separate the methodology from the business.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's a huge issue because now what does this mean for outsiders, affiliate owners, outsiders joining affiliates, because they're not going to separate the methodology from the business or even your everyday weekend warrior CrossFitter to the elite level.
Right. Well, I have a degree in marketing, so I graduated a long time ago.
Like 10 years ago, right?
Yeah, 10 years ago. Yeah. With a degree in marketing, and I spent my previous, we've talked about this before, but I spent my previous life as the director of sales and marketing for a company for a long time. So day one, when I started CrossFit, it was one of the very first things that I noticed. I was like, why is the logo the same?
Yep.
That to me is a brand marketing thing that if the sport of CrossFit's logo was different from a mindset and a mentality of just visually what it looked like, I think you could easily break them apart and you could talk about it. But when you're trying to explain the difference to somebody, but the logo's identical, the branding is identical, the people are identical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one time Dave Castro's over the affiliates and then he's the director of sport and then he's back with the affiliates and then he's the director of sport. Like there's no delineation. They're not two separate companies. It would be, you know, I have a personal training company, right? It's not called Monster Games, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Training Depot. It has nothing to do with the Monster Games. It has to do with investing in people personally and making them personally hit the goals that they have. And that I have the oldest person that I train is 83 years old. He comes to my garage and he doesn't know what the Monster Games is. We don't ever talk about the Monster Games. He has no clue what I would be even talking about if I talked about the Monster Games. Yeah. He knows he comes to the Training Depot.
Yeah.
And it's that simple.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure I'm oversimplifying it, but from a marketing standpoint and strategy, if you're not going to attempt to separate the two, then expect to be lumped in together.
Yeah. So what do you think that this does overall for the sport of CrossFit versus the methodology of CrossFit? Because at the end of the day, it's a business. And so people are going to hear this tragedy happened, and like already CrossFit is like kind of like, dude, let's just be honest, right? Like powerlifters, bodybuilders are like, CrossFit's gay. Like they're doing those weird pull-ups that like everybody's getting hurt, because the only thing that's ever shown with CrossFit are the highlight reels of people like having bad form, cycling barbells and things of that nature. And now it's one more thing that's kind of added. So, well, somebody died. Did you know that? So like people are going to die and you shouldn't do CrossFit because somebody drowned in a pool or in a lake. And guess what? If you do class, you have to swim in a lake too. You know, people don't know that that's not actually the meat and potatoes.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that publicly you can get around it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I think that, you know, we're now, what, CrossFit started in 2000. When was the first affiliate? 2007? Am I wrong on that? I'm probably wrong. I shouldn't say that. It was a long, I think.
How are we at? How are we doing?
So, yeah. So I think it's hard. I don't really have an answer. I think they created the problem a long time ago. I hear it too. Like I used to be an affiliate owner. Mm-hmm. I run a competition. We owned an affiliate and the name of our competition were not, they didn't mesh. I spoke all the time to our people about there's people that should volunteer and work at the Monster Games and there's people that should try to compete. There are two different things.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's on a local level. And if you don't have a good affiliate owner, it's not going to be addressed very well. But publicly, front facing to the general public, we have a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think CrossFit, I like kind of feel gross saying this even. I do think CrossFit is the superior exercise modality.
Right.
I come from a powerlifting, bodybuilding background, strongman. Same. And so, I made fun of CrossFitters for a long time. And then doing CrossFit, I'm like, okay, this is superior for sure. Because the key thing that they have is like intensity.
Right.
But intensity can also be a big problem.
It can be a big problem.
Yeah.
Especially the worst reformists, right?
Yeah.
It can be a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know, man, we go a long time on this because, you know, I am coaches of elite athletes and I'm coaches of 83-year-old people. And you can do both, but that's on the coach. That's not on the athlete.
Yeah.
The athlete has to be directed by the goals that they want, and the coach has to be okay to take them where they want to go.
Yeah.
And it's so vastly different. You know, whether I coach people online or in person, like everything I do for them is based upon what they want to do and whether you want to be 83. Oh, look, I'm not the big like, oh, I just want to pick up my grandkids and walk. I was like, no, you want to live life, right? Yes, you want that being able to pick up your kids and play with them. Like that should be like baseline way down here. Like let's live, let's get in a canoe and go canoeing. Let's hike in the mountains. Mm-hmm. How about when your grandkids, you're on vacation with them, they want to go whitewater rafting. You will get in the boat because you don't think you'll die. Cause you've moved and you've elevated your heart rate and you've been excited at the 3-2-1 go buzzer, even though you're doing super lightweight and, you know, burpees and front squats. So like, right. My 83-year-old man does burpees and front squats.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, and I can make his belly a little nervous before it happens, but he's not going to compete.
Right.
But we're trying to get them to the point where I don't want them to just be able to play with their kids. I want them to be able to do things. I want them to live life. And that's to me what this is about. And that is my fear of what trickles down to us is a competition that we get lumped in. And some people are going to lump us in there and people are going to listen to this. And they're going to completely disagree with me. Nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to gain people's trust. I want to keep people's trust. And I want to continue to do hard things at my competition. And I want to continue to do them in the safest way that we can. And I still want you to be a little nervous when you come do Monster Games.
Yeah.
Do you want to restart that real quick?
Okay. So I don't want to ask you the question, like, what do you think, if anything, did they do wrong with the honoring or the ceremony, right? Because everybody has opinions on that, too. You know, by the way, I think people should just, like, shut it with their opinions. Like, who gives a shit? Like, CrossFit's not going to win. Either way,
there's no win
here. There's no winning. And
no win.
I almost like see it as CrossFit needs a total rebrand or something, or Jesus Christ himself needs to come to a CrossFit game and be like, hey, it's okay. You know, something like
it's
that.
It's going to be okay. Yeah.
What do you think your knee jerk reaction would be if, God forbid, something like this would ever happen? What would you do? How would you go about it?
Let's say the exact same thing happened, because I think it's only fair to say that because every situation would be different. I think if the exact same thing happened, because the size that we are, I'm different. I would gather my sponsors together. I would gather my vendors together and I would gather my executive team together. And I think you have to bring in the people that make the weekend financially feasible for everybody. You have to bring them to the same room. And I think in our situation, because Monster Games is trusted, I think I would probably be very heavily leaning on the side of like, we need to cancel the weekend. And what does that look like for our sponsors and vendors, right? And understanding that we're going to ask you guys to carry this load with us because we asked you to come carry the load to put it on. They're not responsible. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, from a financial standpoint, to make things whole for everybody, you can bankrupt Jason and Heidi, or we can decide that we're going to carry this load together. And, you know, where are we at with all of them? Now, again, that all depends. If they all point the finger at me and say, well, you didn't do this, why would I carry that? I have to be able to look myself in the mirror and say, you're right, I failed here and that's on me. Then that's a different conversation. But if I did everything that I could do to make something happen, and I'm going to assume that I would have, then I think we bring multiple. I'm different. I'm not going to sit down with Heidi and I in a room and make this decision and just go announce it. Like, I'm going to bring those that came with me. I told First Form this a long time ago. Well, the very first time I ever sat down in their office, is like, here's what I'm wanting to do. And I laid out my 10-year vision for Monster Games. And they were just like, okay, well, what does that mean? I was like, well, I can't do it without you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm good, but I'm not that good. I was like, I need you. I need a partner to come with me and do this. Well, if I'm going to do that in the beginning, then, and I talked to Force Firm about this yesterday, like, right, they're here. The guys that I deal with are here. They're doing some stuff off site. And I just pulled them aside and we had a great talk. And I said, what would you expect from me? And then it was like, you know, we expect to be brought to the table like you did the first day. And I completely agree with that. Now, at the CrossFit level, can you do that? Probably not, because they answer to other people than are people that are here, right? There's a private equity group involved. I don't have a private equity group. I'm the private equity group. So it is different, but I would lean towards bringing them into the groom. And I think we would need to cancel the weekend because of what it is, because athletes are not making their living off of doing the Monster Games.
Yeah. I don't think most athletes in the CrossFit Games are even making their living off of doing the CrossFit Games, right?
Well,
Most of them, I think.
There's different levels of athletes that are doing this and it means more to them. But like, I can speak to some people that I know. And I know that if they finish, you know, 15th at the CrossFit Games, the money matters.
Yeah. Well, sponsors and stuff, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, does everybody make money?
Everybody makes money. 15th place is going to get you 25 grand.
Yeah. I guess one of my big problems with CrossFit is that the stakes are like so low in my opinion. Is like, it's a professional sport. I have my opinions on whether it's a sport or not. But not everyone's paid.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, any professional league has some sort of pay, right? Like even your field league, but like your B league, basically MLB, right? Like what are they called? I'm spacing on the
minor league systems.
Yeah, yeah. Stuff like that. Field. Yeah. Whatever. Even they get like 40 grand a year and then like their food is taken care of, right, and travel and stuff, right, like that. You know what I mean? CrossFit doesn't have any of that. We could spend a long time on that.
I have a lot of opinions on that too.
Yeah.
It's because of the feeder system, right? Like,
right.
Here's something. You know, could Monster Games, Desert City Classic, Fittest on the Coast, the Fittest Experience, Metcon Rush, 205 Throwdown, NorCal Classic, could we be feeders to CrossFit?
Dude, I have been saying this for so long.
Right.
That one of the CrossFit's biggest problems, I don't know how they haven't figured this out, one of the biggest issues with the sport in general, and probably has something to do with HQ and all this stuff, is there's no sanction. So there's no like, there's no events that lead to the CrossFit,
right,
the main 100%. Thing. And in powerlifting, weightlifting, everybody, basketball, soccer, everyone has a sanction.
Right.
Everyone is feeding into like the final thing.
Right.
And CrossFit doesn't have any of that. So it's not just like we're getting off of the safety stuff and all that stuff, and that's fine. But it's not just that people can't expect to like this thing can't be expected to be professionalized if there's no professionalization of it. So there's cheating involved, there's drugs and all that stuff, which by the way, I think drugs should be allowed in CrossFit. Just making that clear.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, I truly do. I think that it's really dumb that they don't allow drugs in the sport of recovery. So that, but yeah, the fact that there's no sanctions leaves room for so many problems.
Yeah. I said at Pasadena, not this past semifinal, semifinal before, and I went as a coach of an athlete that was there, and I got to go to the Players Association meeting that Brent Vakowski and Patrick Feldner put on, and you know, I listened to him, and I just spoke up, and I just said, guys, like, if you're not willing to walk out on the floor and at 3-2-1 go, every athlete not move until there's an accepted Players Association, like, you're going nowhere.
Dude,
right?
Thank you.
Going nowhere. And yes, they're just like, well, not everybody would do it. I'm like, well, then you will never have a protected athlete group ever if you're not willing to strike. Like, and I'm not a strike guy, like, right? But I was around. I mean, I'm old enough to be around when, you know, you guys don't know what this is, but when Tony Gwynn was hitting 400 before the 1994 strike, there was no World Series in Major League Baseball in 1994. I was in college. Right. This is in my lifetime, the height of me being excited. I played college baseball. Like, I was a college baseball player and I was in college at a time when there was no World Series.
Yeah.
Right. Well, where are salaries today?
Mm-hmm.
Where is insurance today? Where is protection today? How strong is the players union today?
Yeah.
right? Well, you have to be willing to do that. And I looked right at him and they're just like, I don't know how we do that. And I was like, I get it. But it starts with you guys around and say, if you want to protect the future of this sport, you better protect your athletes today. And it means showing up to the CrossFit Games and letting CrossFit know that if we cannot sign a Players Association agreement with you, which includes judging, all of the things, right, that you have to have, health insurance, and at 3, 2, 1, go, we don't move. And if you guys will not move, it'll magically happen.
And there's do it
magically be a contract.
And do it on the hour that ESPN is live, man. Seriously, because right. they're the ones that pay.
Right.
And I was just talking to Joe about this the other night. And even as far as affiliates go, and all these people that say that they want change in CrossFit, but they still pay the affiliate fee.
Right.
I'm like, dude, that affiliate fee cannot be doing enough for you. Like, period. I'm just being... He says that it does a lot. He'd rather have it. I think he's a CrossFit purist, and right. we talked about that. And a lot of those guys who came up in CrossFit for a long time, I guess I don't have an emotional attachment, so I feel like I can see it a little bit more objectively. Right. So many gyms do fine without a CrossFit affiliate.
I had 3 of my 4 gyms are unaffiliated.
Dude, Anytime Fitness is not in a CrossFit right. affiliate, and they kill it.
Right.
Snap Fitness, all these like big box gyms, and of course they're a big box gym, but how do you think they started?
Right.
It's not like they had an affiliation before, and then, you know, it grows. And so if you're also not willing to vote with your dollars,
yep.
like how politicians talk about,
yep.
then you can't bitch about it.
Right.
Because you're not going to take a stand. You're not going to do anything. It's just a lot of loudmouth people.
I do. I think there's a simple solution. Is like in this meeting, you know, even Frykowski, he goes, well, what would you do? And I was like, you know, I was like, I'm a casual golfer. I play golf. And I used to keep track of my handicap. I was like, it was kind of cool that I could pay $75 a year and I carried a PGA Tour card.
Nice.
Not a tour card, a PGA card.
Yeah.
I was the member of the United States Golf Association and I paid $75 a year, but it got me discounts at anybody that's affiliated with that. I could play golf all over the country. I could get in. I could always get my tee time. I would get discounts. I'd get discounts on clothes.
Play free at a lot of places.
You play free at a lot of places.
Yep.
And I was like, I'm never going to play professional golf, but I paid the $75 every year.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, you know, we have to go, like, yes, the affiliates, I get it, but they're like the country club. We have to go to the members and say, mm-hmm. what are you willing to do to make this better?
Yeah.
You know, and then their question is going to be, well, what are you going to give me for doing that? And so something has to be created that is a perceived value. And maybe it's calling Jason at Monster Games and saying, hey, if they flash this CrossFit Association card that they're a member, would you give a 15% discount to Monster Games? Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's starting to get in the neighborhood of 2 or 3 comps a year. You just paid for your membership
mm-hmm.
in savings at competitions you were going to already do.
Mm-hmm.
All of that money goes to the association. Now you have a pot of money to protect the athletes that we all want to watch on TV. I don't want to sit here and hate on CrossFit because there's a lot of things about it that give me joy.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy watching, thinking that, nobody can beat Tia coming off of this event and somebody comes and beats her. I enjoy watching that. I enjoy watching my athlete that's a rookie, you know, finish in the top 10 of an event. Like
yeah.
CrossFit brings me joy. So don't hear me say that it needs to be crumpled up and thrown away. I want to help it.
But here again, this is the distinction, right? It happens all the time in conversations with CrossFitters. And like, I can tell that you're a fan and you're passionate about it, which is great. But again, it's the distinction between the sport and business.
Correct.
That's happening. And like, we just like people cannot seem to separate it, you
right.
know? And so I'm not saying that it's wrong what you're feeling or what you're saying or whatever, because it's definitely not. But it's like, me too, dude. I loved watching these freaking women do sub 6 minute miles last
right.
night. That was awesome. That doesn't say shit about the business
right.
or about CrossFit as a somebody who
well,
holds competition.
Well, I don't know that, you know, so I'm speaking up from a competitive side
yeah.
Because I'm here in Fort Worth.
Yeah.
Right? And so are you. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the sport of CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think they're two separate problems.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. For sure.
I was talking about in particular protecting because we started talking about, you know, major league sports and protecting them and not having making money. So I was addressing that
okay,
standpoint
yeah.
of the players union,
yeah,
players association,
yeah,
and doing it that way. So I have a whole different set of ideas.
Yeah, for
How to fix the affiliate model. But
no, you're right. You're right.
So that's why I don't want you to feel like I was raw on everything.
No, I didn't at all either. I didn't take it. I don't take it anyway.
My passion was coming from the standpoint from a competitive side.
No, yeah.
I mean, I'm an event director. I obviously love seeing people exercise fast, right?
Yeah.
But I also like seeing unique things. I got approved this year at a state university to shoot a gun on campus, right? That was a little controversial. I got some messages online and, you know, I
thought it was sick.
And athletes were, but you know, how did I do it? Did I put guns in 800 athletes' hands? No, I put them in 60 hands and I put them in 60 hands, five people at a time.
Yep.
And I hired a SWAT sergeant from JPD to come to my event. And I wasn't asked to do that. Missouri Southern did not require me to have anybody on site, that did it. You know, I, on my own, called Sergeant Swan that he used to coach for me at a gym. And I said, hey, this is what I want to do. I'm concerned about the aesthetics of it. I was like, what would it cost me to have you come out? I want you driving your Tahoe, your blacked out Tahoe, onto the track. And I want to park there. And I want you standing there. He's 6'7". I want you standing there in uniform. And I want you engaging. Like, it's not, you're not a security guard. I want you engaging with the athletes. He also served in the military. And he's like, you don't pay me anything. I'm coming. Like, that's awesome.
That's sweet.
He showed up. We had a practice for an hour. I let athletes come at 7:30. The event started at 8:30. They had an hour to shoot. They could shoot there all the way. And he got in line with them, and he helped these people figure out how to break the barrel, load it, aim, all of these things. And it became, again, another level of athletes trusting me because there was something that we did that no one asked me to do, and I didn't have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are just the things that I get excited about, is like, if I'm going to try something unique, my athletes have to trust me. I mean, I do everything I can to put the athletes first, regardless of some of the messages that I get. I really do.
Yeah.
I try to do that. I try to make it the weekend I want to be about the athlete. I really do. So that's what we're trying to do.
I think what's cool about you is that you're not disconnected from the event at all. Like, you're highly involved in it.
Right.
You're communicating with the athletes. Like, even the first year that we showed up, you took your, like, we watched you take your time speaking to everybody that had questions, even if they missed the briefing or whatever. You took your time and did all that. And so I think that you've built a layer of trust, and people are like repeat customers basically, right, to come to the Monster Games. How do you think, like, where does the disconnect come with CrossFit, and why is it the lack of trust there?
Oh man. Again, without being behind the scenes, I don't know. This is pure speculation, but you know, again, to the lens of Monster Games, why is Monster Games trusted, and is that do we see that being repeated at the HQ level?
Yeah.
And I think you go back to, you know, I think we're sitting here today. Do we know when the open is? Do we know when quarterfinals is? Do we know when semifinals is? Do we know how many semifinals there are? Do we know how many people are going to qualify? Do we know when the games are next year?
Right. Yeah. There's
no linear path to what it looks like, because the games spawns off businesses, right? I am a business that has spawned off of the game. Monster Games exists because of the CrossFit Games.
Yep.
I can't put my schedule together next year because I have no idea what they're doing.
Sure.
So then I have to make decisions as a business owner, like, whatever they decide to do, I'm going to have to go down this path, and I hope that it lines up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's things that can be done holding hands with the businesses that you have spawned off as a feeder system, because we're here to support them.
Yeah.
Right. I don't have to agree with everything they do to not support them, right? I don't have to agree with my political person I want to vote for. You know, I don't have to agree with everything to support them.
Right.
And I feel like it's the same thing. I really do.
Yeah. What do you think it would look like, you being part of a feeder system for CrossFit or other competitions?
You know, I think, unfortunately, that conversation will never happen.
Yeah.
But I think if they would be, and maybe they would think I would be too small, but, you know,
Who's bigger than Monster Games?
I mean, Wodapalooza. I mean,
oh yeah, they're not CrossFit affiliated either, are they?
Well, I mean, I'm not affiliated.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not affiliated with CrossFit. I don't pay for the CrossFit.
No, I know that. For some reason, I had in my head that Wodapalooza was like a CrossFit sponsored.
No, I mean, they're owned by Loud and Live. They used to be, you know, in Granite, you know, when they bought Granite Games and all of that, they were a sanctional first, and then they were an actual semifinal for a while. They're not now. They're not affiliated to, you know, us, TFX, you know, Desert City is a comp that I have a soft spot in my heart for, because Adam is and Ryan do a great job with it. And they're entering year two of a comp that I believe is going to be every bit as big as Monster Games. NorCal Classic, I think, does a really good job. I think Micah in Birmingham, Alabama with 205 Throwdown does a really good job. He has a swimming event. He's doing, like, I had a conversation with him, and like he's doing things we're all trying to do. So if you've got these like-minded individuals that are trying to do unique things, like, can we come around a table? Is CrossFit willing to sit down with us and listen? And if they are the people sitting down to listen that actually making decisions?
Yeah.
And that's what will never happen.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, 100%. I think the last thing that I want to touch on kind of that was an issue this weekend was the lack of communication on what was happening until, like, what was it, like 9 or 10 p.m. that they finally posted something?
Yeah, I mean, we had no communication other than, like, media places like Spin and, you know, like, some of those other media outlets.
So yeah. Even as, like, a smaller level or a smaller comp, how would you have handled that?
I try to over-communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I think most people would think that I do. We did a Survey Monkey at the end of every, it went out. Heather, I'm sure that you got it. We send one out, and I want to know, how was the communication? You know, tell me. And sometimes they're hard to read.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't want to hear bad things about you.
Yeah.
And so as I read through them, if I get my responses that tick above 10%, I start paying attention. And so that's one of those things that negative comment. So if I'm asking a comment about communication and there's 11% of the people are scoring me as there was not enough communication, like, I have to start reading all 11% of those responses to see, is anything in that 11% consistent? And is there anything that I was like, oh, you know, you have to say, oh man, they're right about that. And so my communication email on the Survey Monkey we sent out was we were at 2.7%. We're unhappy with the communication. I don't even worry about it. I can't lose sleep over 2.7%.
Yeah.
But we have questions we ask that we get over 10%. I have to address them, and it's hard. It sucks. It sucks reading bad things about yourself.
Yeah.
That are consistent. But what I do find is if I see the same problem repeated over, I'm like, we have to address it.
Yeah.
We have to address that problem. I don't know if that's happening.
Okay.
So, to go back to the question that you actually answered me, I might have dodged it, but you said,
no, you said you over communicate.
Yeah. How would you have handled it? I was like, we had a delay of weather this year. And so it's, you know, the unbelievable happened in July in Missouri. It rained 4 inches at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so the day of our swim, I wake up, it's raining like crazy. And one of the first things we do is I get with my social media director and I said, Liz, here's where we're at right now. I need you to get a post up and I need you to get an email out to everyone. I think I actually sent the email. She put the social media post up. I sent the email out and I gave the information that we had at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Because that way, at least athletes know, okay, they're not ignoring us. They're giving us what they have. And the very first thing that I sent out was, I believe we were on a 30-minute delay. Was it first one? Is that accurate? Something like that? I think we're on 30.
I think so, yeah.
And it was all based on lightning, right? And so every time we got pinged inside the 10-mile radius that lightning strikes, you start a new 30-minute clock. I think we wound up sending out 3 updates. We wound up being an hour and a half. We started an hour and a half late. They got 3 updates out. I feel like we communicated as best we possibly could with that situation. I think that's all that that's all athletes want.
Yeah.
You may not be able to tell them everything. Tell them what you know to be a fact, and they'll be okay. And if that is, as of right now, we don't know if there's going to be games, then tell them that. And then that way they don't know. That way they at least know this is up in the air. They're going to assume it's up in the air, and that's when all the chatter starts.
Yeah.
If you come out and say, you know, it's 11:30 in the morning. As of now, all events are canceled. We do not know if we are continuing on the weekend. We will address you at 4:30, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just bought yourself 5 hours of freedom. And then at 4:30, you better say something.
Yeah.
And if you don't have but one piece of information to give at 4:30, then you give that information, you explain why this is the only information that you have, and you say, we are in a closed-door meeting with athletes from 4:30 until we have this resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody relaxes. It's 4:30, they're in a closed-door meeting. And they can wonder what they're happening all they want, but at least they know because that's what was happening. I just happen to know that because I had an athlete in that meeting.
Yeah.
So you communicate that. You communicate that to the public. You put it on social media, right? And people stop talking.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. That was like my follow-up question is, do you think that CrossFit owed the public this communication?
I do. It's no different than lightning at Monster. Okay, that's not fair. It is different than lightning at Monster Games. Communication-wise, it's not any different because there's more than just the athlete showing up. People have to get up and drive people to the pool, and they're trying to figure out kids, you know, when they're going here, when they're going there, what time does their heat start? Do I have time to eat breakfast? Do you want me to go get you coffee? Do you need an energy drink? Do you want me to get you a first form candy bar, like all protein bar, you know, all those things. It affects the public.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the public in a huge way. This affects the public in a giant way because you've got literally everyone traveling.
Yeah.
And you need to make decisions to do that. So yeah, I do think that, and it's not, I know it's not easy when you have bosses. I get it. Like, I don't have a boss that I have to ask to make that post. I understand. But somebody has to say, I don't care if I have a boss. This is what we're stating to the public. So the temperature in the room can come down a little bit.
Yeah.
If we can bring the temperature down in the room a little bit, then I think that cooler heads can prevail. And then when you make a decision to keep the games on, it's received in a way that feels like you went through a process that was transparent.
Sure.
What do we want from our government? We want transparency from our government. You know, we don't get it. We get pissed, and the world gets pissed. The country gets pissed. We get at each other's throats. Why? Because we don't believe anything they're telling us.
Yeah.
Right. I don't believe anything they're telling us. Why? It's not because our government has done anything other than lie to us.
Yeah.
Over the probably longer than I want care to admit, but mm-hmm. now with the advance of messaging and social media and the things that get caught, like if you're not transparent, you're going to get found out. Like there's no hiding it. Like
yeah.
everything that they tried to protect is going to come out.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You might as well come out and say, this is what we know today. This is what we're doing as of right now. And mm-hmm. there's no decision to be made. And here's the time frame that we're going to commit to getting you an answer. And if that's 11 o'clock at night, then it's 11 o'clock at night. At least you know you're not getting an answer till 11. It's why the FBI, when they do press conferences, they announce it. Yeah. You will have an update on this murder at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Right? Well, okay, you relax. You know, media gathers, you're ready for the 2 p.m. announcement. Maybe they don't give you what you want, but at least they're messaging us
and gave you something.
I think that's owed to the public. I really do. The public drives this.
It's just a freaking logistical nightmare, dude. It's crazy. Cause I mean, there's even people like, I agree. I think that they should have been communicating openly the whole time, even if it was just like little, you know, shit here and there. Like,
I'm
hey.
Sure somebody is saying, you know,
yeah, 100%.
Don't say anything. Don't say it. Yeah. Okay. Like, right. That, you know, when, you know, crazy murders happen, there's only so much you can say, but it's still being addressed publicly to at least give the information that you're allowed to give at that time. And there is privacy that comes into play, but
yeah,
you know, this is not the first time a death has occurred in sport. Like there is, it is in CrossFit, but there is a history of it. There's a history of it in triathlons. There's a big history of it in triathlons. There's
yeah.
a big history of it in Ironmans. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know,
marathons,
you can find yeah. out that information in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, did they continue the race?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did they do? What was the, you know, you can find, you know, I mean, I'm sure everybody in CrossFit has Googled all that stuff at this point, right? It's actually massive.
Yeah.
It's spread.
Yeah.
So that's a small community like CrossFit. Mm-hmm. It really is. I mean, the triathlon community and the Ironman community is small. And I just think we have to treat these situations as sensitive, but transparent. You know, if you're not, you're losing your trust. And I don't know if you can get it back if you continue to just give the same talking points.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, 100%. And the lack of communication is rough too, because there's definitely people who save up all year because this is like their family vacation, you know? And so like they're waiting on the edge of their seat too. Like, you know, am I going to have to go home? Do I not get to like do this thing or whatever? I don't know. It's a lose-lose across the board. Do you have to restart that? All right. We're about to end anyway.
Okay.
Good. Yeah, it's a lose-lose, dude. It's a lose-lose.
Yeah, it can be. And I think that's where I go back to you asking what would we do. And I think I'm always going to default to, you know, let's not hide anything, mm-hmm. right? And again, when you're small, it's easy. I understand. So anybody listening to this that says, well, you know, it's not the same. You don't have a private equity board you have to answer to. You don't have 12 layers deep. And they're right. They're not wrong. But I think at some level, you have to look at other tragedies that happen, and the ones that you feel like were handled right will almost always be because there is truth told somewhere,
yeah,
and there's accountability held. Like, what pissed us all off about Donald Trump getting shot? Like, they all acted like it was like, well, they, you know, I wasn't responsible. The local city was responsible. That mm-hmm. guy was supposed to be on the roof. Well, that building was out of the, just stop, right? Just tell us that was a failure and that should have been covered. And I'm like, oh, okay. At least they finally said something, right? Like, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If stuff like that happens and we're lied to, you instantly like, where are we all at with our government trust? Like, do we really want to go there with our, you know, social things that we do for fun?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to feel way about them.
No,
I want to trust them. I want that to be my outlet.
So, and somebody's just got to take accountability immediately.
Accountability too. Is everything. Yeah. Transparency, accountability, be authentic with people. Mm-hmm. And if you're authentic with people, then I've told you guys this before, not everyone is going to like you. It's 100% impossible.
Yeah.
But if you'll be authentic, then you can at least lay your head down on the pillow at night and know that I'm doing everything I can to make sure that my athletes are taken care of, that the messaging is clear, and that we're doing our best and we're putting our best foot forward.
For sure. Cool. Well, hey, man, appreciate you taking the time to come and talk to us about this. I think it's important. So,
well, I do too. And I appreciate you guys asking. It matters. It matters. Probably, I think Monday we may find out it matters more than we realize, you know, when we leave the weekend. And I think there's going to be some things changing Monday.
So. Yeah. Hopefully. Right. Hopefully. Any last things you want to tell anybody, people with?
Yeah. I mean, not, you know, on this particular, their subject is just like, I don't want people to hear, that I have all the answers, because I don't. Like, I will always err on the side of, asking other people their opinion. Mm-hmm. And taking that opinion and bouncing it around and then giving a message to the people that I think matter and that need to know. So Monster Games is not perfect. Like, I mean, we're going into year 8, and I will inevitably change 10 things about this year from last year. Why? Because I didn't do it right. Mm-hmm. But we're willing to do those things. And if people are willing to do that, then people will trust you. And I think that's all we can ask for.
Sweet. All right, dude. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you. That was good.
Good.
That was really good. Yeah.
I think that will do.